And the Beis HaLevi in the Drushes asks a very geshmaka kasha. He gives a very geshmaka teretz on many different levels. The kasha is that in halacha, the Torah brings in Shulchan Aruch, there's a concept of aveda midas. Let's say that I take a diamond ring, and I take the diamond ring and I leave it in the middle of Times Square. And then someone comes and takes it. So that person is not a gazlan. That person is entitled to take the diamond ring. Why? Because aveda midas is hefker. When I put the diamond ring in the middle of Times Square, so then I was basically mafker it. Okay. Yes, to Beis HaLevi, but it's a stira to Gemara and Bava Kama. Gemara and Bava Kama talks about a very geshmaka case. Let's say that I have a glass vase, and I chuck it out a window. It's about to smash, and on the bottom, before it smashes, you take a baseball bat. Right, for the English and South Africans, a baseball bat is like this thing that we play ball with, right? And you take the baseball bat and you smash the vase before it hits the ground. So the Gemara clears over there is the guy who smashes it with the bat. Is he chayev? Is he not chayev? For the Beis HaLevi, I don't understand this. And I made aveda midas. I threw it out the window. It's going to break anyway. In the aveda midas, yesek doyle mizu. Answers the Beis HaLevi, no. He didn't get it. It's Zarak Kli Miroish Agag. It's not Nafo Miroish Agag. I threw it out the window. I want to break the vase. And therefore, I want it to belong to me until that last second when it smashes on the pavement. I don't dissociate myself, so therefore it's still mine. Aveda Midas is like, it fell out the window. I put it out on the street. But over here, I didn't relinquish my bialis. I want to be the one to break it because of the fact that it's mine. And with that says the Beis HaLevi, you can understand a very shver Gemara in Chagiga. The Gemara in Chagiga, the story there, Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and the Min. The Min, the Tzduki, the Apikiris, goes to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya and says, "You Jews, what's with you people? You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu forsook you. You're oppressed. Holocausts. Spanish Inquisition. You're the most degraded of peoples." Zakt Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya quoted a pasuk. He says, "Achvi le yaday." He shows him his hand and he says, "Oid yaday netuya aleinu." HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is still stretched above us. The Pashup Shot means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though you know he's letting the goyim punish us, but he still has his hand over us, still somehow protecting us. Frekta Marsha, what are you talking about? Take a look at the Pasuk in Tanakh, Pasuk in Yeshaya, and many different instances of this phrase, Oid Yaday Netuya Aleinu. You know what it means? Here, I'll read you one of them. Al Kain Chora Av Hashem Ba'amoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu got very angry at his people. Vayet Yaday Olav, and he stretched out his hand above him to hit him. Vayakeyu, and he hit him. Vayir Gezu Eharim, and the mountains start to tremble. And all of their dead corpses are all over the streets, Nebuch. B'chol zois loyshov apoy, and still Hashem didn't stop being angry. V'oid yadoy netuya, and his hand is still above us to hit us again. Oid yadoy netuya doesn't mean that he's protecting us. Oid yadoy netuya means that his hand is still outstretched. He's going to hit us again. So what's Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya saying to the men, Oiv Yaday Netuya, that don't worry about it, he's still got his hand above us. Still got his hand above us, they hit us again. So it's even worse. Zakt Beis HaLevi, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Oiv Yaday Netuya, he's like the guy who threw the vase out of the window. What does that mean? What it means is, the reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu continues to hit us is because we're still his. Noach Weinberg gave a beautiful mashal. They never forget it. He says that, what's it called? Let's say that you have a kid. Let's say you have a kid. And the kid runs out into the street. Yeah? Runs out into the street. And a car almost hits him. So the driver of the car is going to, you know, yell at the kid. And say, what are you doing? You know? Another person who's over there, right, is also, kid, you're stupid. You're going to get yourself killed, right? Then you have a third guy. The third guy lights out from a half a block away, runs after the kid, chases him for another two blocks, grabs him by his shirt, takes him, flips him over his knee, and starts smacking him and whacking him and hitting him. Who is that guy? It's his father. Why? Because he knows this kid's going to get himself killed. He really cares about him. Oy yada netuya aleinu doesn't mean, yeah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, it's okay, fine. Oy yada netuya aleinu says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's giving us punishment and galus because we're still his. And he knows that he has to show charoinav. And he still wants us. And the fact that he punishes us shows that we're still his. From there, and this is how we get to Parshas Vayetze, the Beis HaLevi brings it back to Parshas Vayetze. Parshas Vayetze starts with the pasuk, Vayetze Yaakov Mibeer Sheva, Vayelech Harona. Vayetze, he went out, Vayelech, he went in. Zok the Medrash. The Medrash says over here, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, yeah, Pasar Kirya Begolus, Pasuk Kariyah Begolus, he says that the Pasuk is talking about Golus. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, the Yaakov went out of Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charona, Asher Hoiga Hashem B'yoyim Charoin Apoy. Says the Medrash, that Yaakov Avinu went out and he went in. And so too his children, Klal Yisrael, right, we're going to go out of Eretz Yisrael and we're going to go into Golus. And there's two different Bechinas. We have to leave Eretz Yisrael. When we do Averis, we have to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is a holy place, and it's a scary place. The Ramban says that if people do Averis in Eretz Yisrael, things get very, very bad for them. So the first thing is that we have to leave Eretz Yisrael. There's a Bechina of leaving Eretz Yisrael. But then there's Vayelech Charona. We also have to go to Golus. Why? Because in Golus, we're going to get Nebuch, the punishment that we deserve. And so it's not just to leave Eretz Yisrael to save ourselves, but in Golus with a Goyim around us, so we get the punishment that we deserve. And then the Beis HaLevi makes one more point, and then we finally get to our major issue. The Beis HaLevi says, and this is Maisa Aves Simen Labanim. Why? Because Yaakov Avinu, when he left Eretz Yisrael and he went to Charan, so it was also, there was a Bechina of leaving Eretz Yisrael, and there was a Bechina of going to Haran. So too, his children have to leave Eretz Yisrael, and they have to go into Golus. Yaakov Avinu had to leave Eretz Yisrael. Why did he have to leave Eretz Yisrael? Because Esav wanted to kill him. So Rivka said, get out of here, you're going to get killed over here. Why did Yaakov Avinu have to go to Haran? Because Yitzchak said, you got to go get a wife. So there was a separate value in Yaakov Avinu leaving Eretz Yisrael. He had to get away from Esav. He had to get away from the danger. And he had to go to Haran because over there was his destiny. So too, we have to leave Eretz Yisrael when we go to Golus to get away from the danger of being in too holy a place for us that we're going to get damaged there. And we have to go to Golus where we find Nebuch, our destiny, where we get the Charoin Af, so that we're able to get the punishment to keep on growing as the... As the Am Hashem. What I want to shtel on though over here is a very interesting point of how the Beis HaLevi says this. The Beis HaLevi doesn't just say that when we leave Eretz Yisrael we go to Haran, or Yaakov Avinu, we left Eretz Yisrael, goes to Haran. Doesn't say that there's a Yetze and Vayavai, that there's two different reasons. I'll read it to you how he says it. Ubi Yaakov, he says, Nislaktu shtei kavonis. There's two kavanas over here. There's a vayetze and there's a vayelech. The ikar kavanosoi b'halichosoi l'kayim mitzvahs kibud of v'aim. Why did he go? He went to be mekayim kibud of v'aim. The Rivka amra loy, Rivka said to him, hine Esav achicha misnachim l'chol hargecha. That Esav wants to kill you. Right? The ikar kavanosoi hayesh lo yeh b'be'er sheva. Well, Yitzchak, but Yitzchak loy oimra kol zeis, rak shelo yikach isha mibnois kanan v'tziva loy. So Rivka says, get out of here because it's not safe. Yitzchak says, go over there because you need to get a wife. But the Beis HaLevi says over here, kol kavonasei was what? Not to save himself, not to get married, but to be mekayim kibud av v'aim. Why is it that of all of the things, what was that? The kavana of Vayetze and Vayelech was kibud av v'aim. The kavana of Ayetze and Vayelech, Kibur Avayim, the kavana of Ayetze was to save himself, and the kavana of Vayelech was to go get a wife. What's the deal? Kibur Avayim, father, mother, what do you see from here? Maisa is a big yesod. A big yesod that doesn't only have to do with Kibur Avayim, but it has to do a lot with the whole process of learning and the whole process of living our lives. Maisa, I always tell people, I say it, I don't say regularly, but I say it often, that I really shouldn't be here. Why? I had never had any intention, you know, after I got married, of being in Eretz Yisrael close to 30 years later. My wife always jokes about the fact that, like, she went out with other people, and one person, she said, she ended the process because the guy wanted to stay in Eretz Yisrael, wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael and stay there. That guy, I always say, is probably living, in Baltimore or Lakewood today. Here we are, we're still in Eretz Yisrael. But the plan basically was, I have to get married, so I'm going to come here, sit and learn in the kollel for, 2, 3, 5, 10 years, however long till the money holds out. Then I'm going to go back to America, and I'm going to take some kind of a rabbanus. I always joke about this with Yehuda Oppenheim, that once North Carolina got a basketball team, so I said, okay, so now I can go become the Rav in North Carolina, in Charlotte. I can go to Charlotte. And now his father is the Rav in Charlotte, North Carolina. But whatever, that was the original plan. Well, somehow we got derailed. What happened? So for reasons that I won't go into, I guess I was about 28 years old or whatever, been kollel a couple of years. I decided at a certain point that I was going to take a chavrusa bachur in the Rosh Yeshiva's shir, and to try to help out with the matzav over there a little bit. Help out with my chavrusa that I was learning with, help out the shir in general. And it became clear to me after being in the shir about 2 or 3 days that the best way to do this was that I had to be, I don't know, to call it the person, but I had to be a person in the shir who absolutely took every single word that came out of the Rosh Yeshiva's mouth very, very seriously. And to listen to the shir over again, make sure that I got every single point down, and basically challenge myself and challenge the people around me to see, did you really get what he said? Did we not get what he said? And Beseder. Okay, how long was this going to last? I really didn't know at the time. By the time it was over, more than a decade had passed. And by the time the whole experience was finished, so I basically had embarked on a new career, and the thought about going back to America sort of like faded into oblivion. But what I want to tell you is that this is a chiddush atzim. Why? Because it's chatoy ani mazker hayom. I'm a very independent-minded person. For somebody like me, for over 10 years, to sit with a tape recorder, or one of these things at the end of the tekufa, and listen over and over again until you could get straight what somebody else said, which you did not jive with the first time, and over again and over again, and did I get it, and how do all the pieces fit together? But I remember after I finally left the shir, it was because it became too much. I was saying my own shir in the afternoon and chazring the shir at night and being a meshiv and writing up shir sheets every night as well. It just became too much. I went to the Rosh Yeshiva and I said, after I left, I told him, I just have to thank you. This was like the most incredible learning experience that I ever had in my entire life. And it was because of one reason. It was because of the fact that even though I thought differently, and I continue to think differently, but the ability to realize that there's somebody who you can be mevatel yourself to, and force yourself to work out what he's saying, even though it doesn't go with your instincts, that's one of the most important, if not the most important, part of learning Torah. It's called learning with a Rebbe. Being able to be mevatel yourself, not to turn off your mind. And I didn't do that. I'll talk about that afterwards. But to be able to accept that there's somebody else who's more experienced, more grounded, comes into it, even if he's not smarter than you, he's more experienced than you. And to be able to learn with that, to learn from a Rebbe, that's something that is, it's a midah taiva, and it's a very, very powerful thing, a very, very powerful tool for learning, and it's a very powerful tool for life. The Beis Halevi over here, when he talks about Yaakov Avinu, he doesn't talk about Yaakov Avinu going out of Eretz Yisrael and into Haran because of the fact that it was the smart thing to do. It was. But why did he do it? And this was the Iker. It was because it was Kibud Avim. He was doing what they told him. Even if he had disagreed, this is what Yitzchak Avinu said. And that's what Rivka Imenu said. And therefore, I accept what they say because they're more experienced and they're wiser. And therefore, I have to listen to what they say. There's a powerful Rambam. Everybody knows Aseh Lecha Rav. Aseh Lecha Rav today is very, very popular. What does Aseh Lecha Rav mean? You have to have a Rebbe and Psak Halacha. Don't paskin shailas on your own. You have to have a Rav. Where other people say Aseh Lecha Rav means that you have to have a Meirat Derech. You need to have somebody to, you know, to guide you in life, to tell you where to live, to tell you where to send your kids to school, or discuss it with them. It's all true. But the Rambam says something else. Aseh Lecha Rav lefi she'ein limud ha'adam me'atzmai ki limudam mizulasai. A person's learning by himself is not as powerful as learning from somebody else. El limudam mizulasai yoyser kayem etzlai. You're going to retain it better. It's much more stark. V'yoyser mevuar. And it's more clear. V'afilu ha'yekemayser b'chachma. Even if the Rebbe is not smarter than you. Even if you know as much as the Rebbe, even if you're older than the Rebbe, I know people who had a Rebbe who was younger than them, yeah, and some are not as smart as them either. You know the cases that I'm talking about. No, it's true. Oilamate imenu, it's a chazal. Aseh lecha rav afilu katon mimcha. The kach biro befeirzat sivui, and that's the pshat in aseh lecha rav. Why? Why is Aseh Lecha Rav learning from a Rebbe? Why is it more mekuyam? Why is it more clear? I'll tell you what I always thought, because of my own experience, because when you force yourself to get into somebody else's shoes, even when I saw the Rajba and I thought a different way, but that's not my number one. My number one is I have to understand, how did my Rebbe understand it? And my Rebbe is just as smart as I am, whether I like to believe that or not. Yeah, he might even be a little smarter than me, or a little more experienced than me, and understand what he said first. That gvura, that ability to force yourself, if you do that, it's Yesu Mekuyim. I'll tell you the truth. I told you before, about 11 years I said over the Chazara. During those 11 years, I can't say it was every week, but many, many weeks, after I presented the sugya lefi the mahalach of the Rosh Yeshiva, his cake that came out of the oven, so I said over another mahalach, which I called the mahalach of the B'nai Beis Medrash, a.k.a. me, right? I didn't give up my independent thought process, and there were other people who took the, you know, who took the cue also. I remember one person in particular, his notebook was Shir according to the Rosh Yeshiva, or the Sugya according to the Rosh Yeshiva, and the Sugya according to the way that I see it, with all the kashas on the Rosh Yeshiva's Mahalach. But the point is that the Sugya according to the Rosh Yeshiva's Mahalach played the predominant role. Because that's called Aseh Lecha Rav. In this yeshiva, more than other yeshivas, I would say that, everybody pays homage to it a little bit, but over here, much more so. The people who are saying shiurim over here, it's unique in the fact that, you know, you have people who learned by a Rebbe for 10, 20, 25 years. Where do you find that? You have a situation where in second Seder in quote-unquote a normal yeshivas, everybody just, you know, everybody learns Bekiyas. Or you don't have Bekiyas, and you have Chaburas where people share, Geshmaka ideas and throw it around the Beis Medrash. Where do you have a second Seder where you have Shiurim with Rabbeim, again, who are schooled in the same system of learning under a Rebbe for many, many years? It's clear, because this is the way to learn Torah. It's this Rambam, that you learn better when you learn from a Rebbe. It's more Mekayim, it's more Barer. The idea through the skill of being able to, I don't like the term be mevatel yourself, because mevatel yourself means I don't exist. You always exist. You always have to have your pshat also. You may not get to having your perfect pshat, but see what's bothering you, write down your questions. But the ability to take somebody else's opinion seriously and to say, this is what he wanted to say. Just like, whatever. You write, somebody once told me that, particularly yeshiva, the way that they read Rashi or learn Rashi, they learn the Gemara, they read Rashi. Rashi, he doesn't make any sense. Okay, so put Rashi on the side and let's go see Tosfos. Maybe Tosfos will sound a little bit better. You don't do it for Rashi, you don't do it for Tosfos. And having a Rebbe means that you don't do it for a Rebbe either. That's the way that we were taught to learn Torah. You ask, you challenge, sometimes it's tzarachiyun. And I'll tell you my own experience, going through sugyas that I learned with the Rosh Hashiva, which of the two mahalchim come back to me now? I don't necessarily think that the mahalch that comes back to me now all of the time is the mahalch the way that I learned it. I worked harder on the other one. And therefore, my Muskel Rishon a lot of times is the way that, the way that I heard it in Shir. Some of the questions never went away. Some of the questions, Be'ez Hashem, you don't appreciate your Rebbe for another 40 years, Chazal say, until after you heard from him. Maybe I'll get it, B'meshach Hazman. Maybe I'll reach Me'ev Esrim and beyond, and I'll never get it. Maybe, whatever. Maybe Chas V'Shalom I was right, Not Chas V'Shalom, That's fine. Don't turn off your mind. A respect. That's the idea of learning under a Rebbe. And that's a very, very true ideal in life. And in an interesting way, that's what the Beis Halevi is telling us over here. The Yaakov Avinu, when he left, it wasn't because of his own Hasharas Adas, I got to run away from Esav. It wasn't his own Hasharas Adas that I got to go and I got to get a Shidduch. It was because Yitzchak told me that I got to do it, and Rivka told me that I got to do it. And more than anything else, I respect their opinion because they have my best interest in mind. And that's something that we ought to always live by. It's very difficult today. Over the last number of months, unfortunately, I became familiar with, let's just say, the positive power of the technology generation. And the attraction of the technology generation is that it gives you unbelievable power and unbelievable freedom to find out and be and do things that it was never possible 30 years before. When a person is used to that type of freedom and that type of power, it's much, much harder to accept that somebody who, is 30, 40 years beyond you might have something to say that I don't grasp yet. And it's hard. It is hard. But on the other hand, it's something that people have to train themselves to do. So without any personal offense to anybody, I don't mean this to say this to anybody, this is what you guys have to work on. No, that's not where this is coming from at all. But to me, this was such a powerful experience. And since it was such a powerful experience for me, for more than 10 years, and it changed my life, changed my outlook on life, so it's something that I always like to give over to everybody else. And Be'ezra Hashem, I hope that Meshach Hazman, all of you will be zecha to grow in this as well, both in your learning and in your hadracha and in life. Have a good Shabbos.